So I've sort of answered my question before I've even started my sermon, because you'll notice in your bulletins, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. So these are statements, there's no objective of their trust or lack thereof in Adonai. Imperfect in many ways, yet chosen by Adonai, intricately woven into his plan for his creation. We have gleaned much this past from all the upheaval in our lives and the world today, and remember those that have come before us. A time to reaffirm our faith, strengthen our trust in Adonai. This is what I read you last week. Yet as I was thinking about it, I'm thinking, okay, I concluded our summer of faith last Shabbat, and we're not starting Rosh Hashanah, so there's a week in between. What am I going to use as a bridge between the two? And the thought came to me, what about the one we have been encouraging? What about him? Does Adonai's faith endure forever? David proclaimed, verses 3 and 4, great is Adonai and greatly to be praised. His greatness is beyond all searching out. Each generation will praise your works to the next and proclaim your mighty acts. So David is talking about Adonai's greatness and that each generation will praise his mighty acts. So this is a generational thing. Think of it as an inheritance. You're passing on to your children what God has done. But then you're not passing down what God has done for your parents to your children, but you're passing down what God has done for you to your children. So it's something that is built upon. And then another question. Is Adonai great and thus greatly to be praised? Hopefully we've read it more than once, so we have that answer. But we have seen the actions of Adonai as recorded by Moses, a direct witness not only to Adonai's word, but to the action that would follow those words. We read of Moses' encounter in the desert by the bush that would not be consumed, where Adonai literally had to convince Moses to go to Pharaoh. Adonai would convey to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 19, I know that the king of Egypt will not let you leave unless he is forced to do so. But I will reach out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders that I will do there. After that, he will let you go. Moreover, I will make the Egyptians so well disposed toward this people that when you go ask their neighbors and house guests for silver and gold and clothing with which you will dress your own sons and daughters. So what God is saying, they're not just going to have you leave, they'll pay you to leave. Okay? This is how disposed he's going to make Egypt. And then in Exodus 6:1, Adonai said to Moses, now you will see what I am going to do to Pharaoh. With a mighty hand, he will send them off. With force, he will drive them from the land. God spoke to Moses. He said to him, I am Adonai. I appeared to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov as El Shaddai. Although I did not make myself known to them by my name, also with them I established my covenant to give them the land of Canaan. Moreover, I've heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians are keeping in slavery. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am Adonai. I will free you from the forced labor of the Egyptians, rescue you from their oppression, and redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am Adonai your God, who freed you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. So what would transpire upon these words being uttered by Adonai? 10 plagues, that is 10 judgments, executed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. the God of their fathers, who conveyed to Moses, I have seen what Egypt has done to you, and I have heard your cries. Solely on the promise that he made first to Abraham, back in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse anyone who curses you. And by you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So to paraphrase, Genesis 12, 2 and 3 is the glue that binds. It is the promise, the glue, that led to bind Adonai's action in response to his people's cries. He promises Abraham that he would make him a great nation, a goy gadol. Gadol translated as great, ultimately power and might. What this nation lacks in, as by the world's definition of greatness, that is size, population, or wealth, is to be made up for influence and prominence. We must remember that there is a timetable here, and we are not the keepers of time, nor the manner by which events are to occur. We see what Adonai has done to Egypt, thus keeping his word to his people. In Exodus chapter 12, the Egyptians pressed to send the people out of the land quickly because they said, otherwise we'll all be dead. Verse 35, the people of Israel have done what Moses had said. They had made the Egyptians so favorably disposed toward the people that they had let them have whatever they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Even upon Egypt's pursuit of Israel, they would once again succumb to the outstretched arm of Adonai in Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 30. On that day, Adonai saved Israel from the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the shore. When Israel saw the mighty deed that Adonai had performed against the Egyptians, the people feared Adonai and they believed in Adonai and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang the song to Adonai. I will sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The song that was sung upon all that was done according to what God had promised to do. Adonai was faithful to his promise and to his people here. And I can hear the crowd now. But Rabbi, what is it you always tell us? Follow Scripture and Scripture conveys. One witness alone will not be sufficient to convict a person of any offense or sin of any kind. The matter will be established only if there are two or three witnesses testifying against him. Yet we are not testifying against Adonai, but we are testifying for him. So if two witnesses at a minimum are required to convict, then we should at least use the same standard to exonerate. We have sweeped the result of these words to Adonai, to the generation about to enter and take possession of the land originally promised to Abraham. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. When the time arrives that all these things have come upon you, both the blessing and the curse. So there's going to be a time when they're blessed, but then there's ultimately going to be a time when they're cursed. So they're going to experience both. And the curse which I have presented to you, and you are there among the nations to which Adonai your God has driven you, then at last you will start thinking about what has happened to you. Think of it like a major timeout. You put your kids in timeout to do what? To think. We see these words come true through the prophet Jeremiah when Adonai speaks through him. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 1, following is the text of the letter Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the leaders remaining in exile. as well as to the Kohanim, the prophets, and all the people Nebuchadnezzar had carried off captive from Jerusalem to Babel. Where are they? They're not in the land. They're in somebody else's nation. In other words, they've been carried off. In other words, they're experiencing the curse, so to speak. Carried off captive to another land. Did I just now share with you the result of what would transpire when the nation would experience the curse leading to exile? Here is what was said by Adonai regarding his people's disobedience towards him. In Leviticus 26, starting in verse 40, "Then they will confess their misdeeds and those of their ancestors, which they committed against me. In their rebellion, they will admit that they went against me. At that time, I will be going against them, bringing them into the lands of their enemies. But if their uncircumcised hearts will grow humble, and they are paid the punishment for their misdeeds, then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, with Yitzhak, and with Adonai, and I will remember the land. For the land will lie abandoned without them, and it will be paid its Shabbats, while it lies desolate without them. And they will be paid the punishment for their misdeeds, because they rejected my rulings and they loathe my regulations. Yet in spite of all that, I will not reject them when they are in the lands of their enemies, nor will I loathe them to the point of utterly destroying them and thus break my covenant with them. I am Adonai, their God. Rather, for their sakes, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, with the nations watching, so that I might be their God. I am Adonai." In other words, every time he signs, "I am Adonai," what is he doing? He's signing a statement. He's notarizing his own words, so to speak. These are the laws, rulings, and teachings that Adonai himself gave to the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. And then it goes on. So keeping in mind, God's saying that he will judge his people, but he will not reject his people. That he will bring them back, but they will first have to understand what it is they've done. That the land will lie desolate. That it will truly be a desert, so to speak. So now we are at this point. Jeremiah is writing to those who reside in a foreign land. In other words, Adonai has executed judgment upon his people and removed them from the land because of their transgression. Again, remember our Torah study and the thematics. To live by Torah brings what? Life. And the ability to live in the land. Whereas to not live by Torah brings what? And ultimately leads to separation from the land. Here are the contents of Adonai's letter through Jeremiah to the people. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. Here's what Adonai, the God of Israel, says to all those in exile, whom I have caused to be carried off captive from Jerusalem to Babel. So God's not, he's not passing the buck here. The buck stops with him and he says, "This is my doing." But it was for a reason. And he continues, he says, "Build yourself homes," or excuse me, "build yourself houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Choose women to marry and have sons and daughters. Choose wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage to men, so that they can have sons and daughters. Increase your numbers there. Don't decrease. Even in exile, God is encouraging them, you are a nation. Stay a nation. Do not decrease as a nation. Seek the welfare of the city to which I have caused you to go in exile, and pray to Adonai on its behalf, for your welfare is bound up by its welfare. Pray for your enemies, ultimately, is what Adonai is saying. For this is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says. Don't let your prophets who are living among you and your diviners deceive you. And don't pay attention to the dreams you urge them to dream. For they are prophesying falsely in my name. I have not sent them, says Adonai. For here is what Adonai says. After Babel's 70 years are over, I will remember you and fulfill my good promise to you by bringing you back to this place. For I know what plans I have in mind for you, says Adonai, plans for well-being, not for bad things, so that you can have hope and a future. When you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you will find me, provided you seek for me wholeheartedly. And I will let you find me, says Adonai. Then I will reverse your exile. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've driven you and bring you back to the place for which I exiled you. So here's this letter Jeremiah is conveying to the nation. Stay here a while. Get comfortable. You're going to be here a while. Have children. Have your children marry, and they have children, keeping in mind they were to marry within their own nation, not the nation they were residing in. 70 years they were to remain in captivity under the authority of another king and another nation. This all permitted by Adonai in response to the nation's transgression towards him. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles specifically, conveys the duration of time Israel will spend in exile, just as Jeremiah did, and ultimately reveals the reason for their time spent in exile. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, starting in verse 17. Therefore he brought them upon the king of the Chasdim, who put their young men to the sword in the house of their sanctuary. They had no compassion on either young men or young women, old men or gray-haired. God handed all of them over to him. All of the articles of the house of God, great and small, the supplies in the house of Adonai, and the supplies of the king and his leading men, all these he brought to Babel. Then they burned down the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, put to flames all its palaces, and destroyed everything in it of worth. Those who had escaped the sword he carried off to Babel, and they became slaves to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Thus was fulfilled the word of Adonai spoken by Jeremiah, until the land had been paid her Shabbats. For as long as it lay desolate, it kept Shabbat until 70 years had passed. Israel's sentence was 70 years. Was Adonai faithful? Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 provides us with the answer. In the first year of Koresh, king of Persia, in order for the word of Adonai prophesied by Jeremiah to be fulfilled, what's the word of Jeremiah to be fulfilled? 70 years. Adonai stirred up the spirit of Koresh, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his whole kingdom, which he was to put in writing as follows. So, I'll read to you what the proclamation is in a minute. So Adonai stirred the spirit of Koresh, who you might understand as Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation. The king did not do it on his own accord, but through Adonai, as identified by Ezra, when the prophecy of Jeremiah had been fulfilled. What can we say here? A set time has come. Here is what the king was inspired to write. Neither God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms on the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem in Judea. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. He may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the house of Adonai, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. Let every survivor, no matter where he lives, be helped by his neighbors with silver, gold, goods, and animals, in addition to the voluntary offering for the house of God in Jerusalem. Cyrus took up an offering, a voluntary offering, not for his kingdom, but for the kingdom of God. The heads of fathers, clans in Judah and Benjamin, along with the Kohanim, the Levites, and indeed all whose spirit God had stirred, set out to go and rebuild the house of Adonai in Jerusalem. All their neighbors supported them by giving them articles of silver, gold, goods, animals, and valuables, besides all their voluntary offerings. In addition, Koresh the king brought out the vessels from the home of Adonai, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem, and put them in the house of his God. So even everything that was taken would eventually be returned back to its rightful owner. So we have two instances whereby Adonai has been faithful to his people, even though they were not truly deserving. In other words, Adonai's favor was unmerited by his people. Unmerited favor. I seem to have heard of this before. Is this not how grace is defined? Unmerited favor for his people. Are we not seeing Adonai's faithfulness to his promise continue to this very day? Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 3. At that point, Adonai your God will reverse your exile and show you mercy. He will return and gather you from all the peoples to which Adonai your God has scattered you. Are we not seeing this play out today? And verse 4. If one of yours was scattered to the far end of the sky, Adonai your God will gather you even from there. He will go there to get you. Adonai your God will bring you back into the land your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it. He will make you prosper there, and you will become even more numerous than your ancestors. We see all this playing out today. Are we not seeing this? Have we seen this? You see what was not on a map before 1948. Or identified as something else. Yet in your lifetimes, you've seen Israel become a nation. Many of you, it was already there. My grandparents had a map of Jerusalem similar to that picture there. And underneath shows you how old they were. It still said Palestine. I remember seeing this in the 70s and 80s. They never replaced the picture for some reason. I don't know why. But it said Palestine on it. That's how old the picture was. Is he not in the process of regathering his people? Because this prophecy is not yet fulfilled. It hasn't reached its fullness. Because not everybody is there who's supposed to be there. It's only partially fulfilled. Is he not in the process of regathering his people back to the land promised by him to Abraham? More Jewish people reside in the land today than at any time in history. Yet he is not done yet, because as I mentioned, there still remains a remnant scattered, a remnant that remains in the diaspora, the dispersion. You are living in a time where Adonai is active in preparing the way for Yeshua's return. As I've shared with you already, I will share more with you on Rosh Hashanah. because these verses are prevalent, and I will say that they are active, they are ongoing. So I return to my questions that I asked at the beginning. Does Adonai's faith endure forever? Is Adonai great and thus greatly to be praised? We've seen generational aspects. Time of Moses. Time after Solomon, the exile. It's a little long, but I want to close with Psalm 106. If my ear harness will cooperate. Hallelujah, give thanks to Adonai, for he is good, for his grace continues forever. Now, normally you would think that that would be something that you would conclude with, but it isn't. The writer of this psalm starts with it, preparing you for what's to come. Because what's to come in Psalm 106 are many witnesses. Who can express Adonai's mighty doings or proclaim in full his praise? How happy are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Adonai, when you show favor to your people. Keep me in mind when you save them, so I can see how well things are going with those whom you have chosen, so that I can rejoice in your nation's joy and glory in your heritage. What is this? It's an infectious disease, but it's a good disease. It's something you want to have. Think of it like an antibody to transgression. Together with our ancestors, we have sinned, done wrong, acted wickedly. Our ancestors in Egypt failed to grasp the meaning of your wonders. They didn't keep in mind your great deeds of grace, but rebelled at the sea of Suf. Yet he saved them for his own name's sake, to make known his mighty power. He rebuked the sea of Suf and it dried up. He led them through its depths as through a desert. He saved them from hostile hands, redeemed them from the power of the foe. The water closed over their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. But soon they forgot his deeds and wouldn't wait for his counsel. In the desert they gave way to insatiable greed. In the wastelands they put God to the test. He gave them what they wanted, but sent meagerness into their souls. In the camp they were jealous of Moses and Aaron, Adonai's holy one. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and closed over Abiram's allies. A fire blazed out against that group. The flames consumed the wicked. In Horeb they fashioned a calf. They worshipped a cast metal image. Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God who had saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, wonders in the land of Ham, fearsome deeds by the sea of Suf. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn back his destroying fury? Next, they rejected the beautiful land. They didn't trust his promise. And they complained in their tents. They didn't obey Adonai. Therefore, raising his hand, he swore to them that he would strike them down in the desert and strike down their descendants among the nations, dispersing them in foreign lands. Now they joined themselves to Baal Peor and ate meat sacrificed to dead things. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, so that a plague broke out among them. Then Pinchas stood up and executed judgment, so the plague was checked. That was credited to him as righteousness. through all generations forever. They angered him at the Meribah spring, and Moses suffered on their account. For when they embittered his spirit, Moses spoke up without thinking. They failed to destroy the peoples as Adonai had ordered them to do, but mingled with the nations and learned to follow their ways. They went on to serve their idols, which became a snare for them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. Yes, they shed innocent blood, the blood of their own sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to Canaan's false gods, polluting the land with blood. Thus they were defiled by their deeds. They prostituted themselves by their actions. For this, Adonai's fury blazed up against his people, and he detested his heritage. He handed them over to the power of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and kept them in subjection to their power. Many times God rescued them, but they kept making plans to rebel. Thus they were brought low by their own wrongdoing. Still, he took pity on their distress whenever he heard their cry. For their sakes, he kept in mind his covenant and in his limitless grace relented, causing them to be treated with compassion by all who had taken them captive. Save us, Adonai our God. Gather us from among the nations, that we can thank your holy name and glory in praising you. Blessed be Adonai, the God of Israel, from eternity past to eternity future. Now let all the people say, Amen and Hallelujah. And in Psalm 117, praise Adonai, all you nations. Worship him, all you peoples, for his grace has overcome us. And Adonai's truth continues forever. His faith endures forever. His mercy endures forever. And because of that, and because of those two things, we are more than confident. His word endures forever. For which, we as a people can say, Ki le'olam hasto, for his loving kindness endures forever. Yes, I know it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, but a little Passover goes a long way as well. So if everybody will please rise.